While plumes of oil continue to spew into the Gulf of Mexico, a half-century-long environmental catastrophe has gone largely unnoticed in our own backyard. It's been called the worst oil spill in U.S. history, and it happened right here in New York City. More than 50 years ago, oil began leaking from a Standard Oil plant in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, contaminating acres of land and seriously polluting the Newtown Creek. On today's Underreported, we'll get an update on the spill and the latest on cleanup efforts with Alex Matheson, president of the environmental organization Riverkeeper. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Estimates of how many gallons of oil are pouring out into the deepwater horizon side of the Gulf keep changing each day. There's good reason to be concerned about its devastating impact on the environment. But do we know how much oil has spilled at the Newtown Creek site and the surrounding soil over the course of that site's existence?
We don't have a precise number, but we know at the very least 17 million gallons have leaked out of those underground storage tanks and covered a 55-acre under Greenpoint, Brooklyn, both under businesses and homes in the area, and of course have heavily contaminated Newtown Creek itself. And by way of comparison, the Exxon Valdez was only 11 million. But in an EPA study, they suggested that it's possible that as much as 30 million gallons, not 17, but 30 million gallons, may have leaked under that site.
So that would make it bigger, at least at the moment, than the current spill.
Yeah, it would make it nearly three times the size of the Exxon Valdez. And if you trust the estimates that are coming out of the Obama administration and BP of 5 million barrels a day, then yes, it would be much greater than what's already spilled there.
Has the majority of the oil spilled into the soil in Greenpoint or into Newtown Creek?
I'd say it's a combination, but I'd say the majority into the soil and into the groundwater and the aquifer, but beneath that 55-acre site.
Well, what's the impact of it going into the aquifer? People don't drink local water in New York City.
Well, first of all, two things. In fact, there are certain pockets where they're believed to be wells used by local communities, and the Orthodox Jewish community, for instance, in preparing some of their kosher foods, is very nervous about the possibility of crustaceans getting into the New York City drinking water supply. So I think they have been known to tap local supplies at times. The second, also very alarming issue is that the Brooklyn Aquifer was long considered by New York City to be our emergency backup supply of water should there be any damage or a failure of the aqueducts and the entire system up north in the Catskills. So, by the way, we have the Delaware Aqueduct, which brings fully 50% of the city's daily drinking water supply into the city, is actually in terrible shape and is in danger of collapsing. If that collapsed, normally we would use the Brooklyn Aquifer. Now, because of this Exxon's oil spill, we will not be able to because it's fully contaminated.
And it's been tested.
Yes.
When and how was the leak first noticed?
It was actually in 1978. There was a U.S.
So long after it started.
The original leak is believed to have it dates back to about 1950. There was a spark, an underground explosion that sent manhole covers 25 feet in the air, broke windows and surrounding buildings throughout the neighborhood. And that is believed to have triggered a breaching of the underground tanks, and that began the spill. It wasn't actually officially discovered until 1978 when the U.S. Coast Guard had an aerial patrol and noticed a plume of oil going into Newtown Creek. But you can be sure that Standard Oil, now Exxon Oil, certainly was aware of that oil spill long before the U.S. Coast Guard discovered it.
And they made no attempt to plug it up?
No.
Now, you said this was Standard Oil. There were many Standard Oils. Which Standard Oil are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, this is the original Standard Oil before, of course, it was bought up and
became Exxon.
Became Exxon, and then eventually Exxon merged with Mobil, and now it's Exxon Mobil. But this is the original Standard Oil. But Standard Oil was the biggest company in the entire industry, so they owned a lot of sites.
So is that part of the problem, that a company buys and another company says, well, we had nothing to do with it?
Well, perhaps, but not really, because from a legal standpoint, and the companies know this, from a legal standpoint, when you acquire another company, you assume full liability for whatever accidents or damage that company's caused in the past.
As I understand it, all petroleum is not alike. Is the oil that's under Greenpoint and Newtown Creek similar to the kind of oil that's washing up in the Gulf Coast right now?
No, this is, you know, stored oil. It's any combination of different kinds of oil, but it's mostly crude, heavy oil. And I think the stuff that's washing up onto the coastal areas in the Gulf is a lighter grade oil on the whole.
Would that make it less dangerous?
Generally speaking, a lighter grade oil is less toxic to the environment. But make no mistake, the oil that's washing up under the shores in the Gulf Coast is highly, highly toxic, and it's going to do enormous damage by the time it's done.
But this stuff is also highly toxic. Has it ever been plugged up?
The Exxon?
No, the one in Greenpoint.
And the one in Greenpoint. No, what the
because they're talking about plugging up the one in the Gulf and coming up with all sorts of different plans. I would have thought if this oil has continued to ooze out since 1950, that at some point somebody might want, or has it all oozed out?
Well,
by now?
Exactly. I think the presumption is that it's done all the oozing out of the original containment tanks that it's going to do. It's now just dispersed throughout this 55-acre area. And because of reverse pressure, it's actually traveling downstream, if you will, on the aquifer into Newtown Creek. So the two things that have been done in the intervening years. In 1990, the State Environmental Agency, the DEC, imposed a consent order on the company that in my view, was probably invited by Exxon in order to defend themselves against any lawsuits by groups like Riverkeeper. It was a milquetoast consent order. It didn't have any timelines, any benchmarks, any compensation to the community, any penalties, and it really required them to do the bare minimum. So in that, they did put up a bulkhead to try and contain the oil going to the Newtown Creek, but it didn't work at all. That's how we rediscovered the leak in 2002. And then also they do have remediation wells where they're drawing some of this oil out of the aquifer. But that's not nearly sufficient. That's why Riverkeeper brought the lawsuit in 2004.
Now, closer to the Newtown Creek, Greenpoint was largely industrial. But how far has the oil spread? Has it spread into the residential area?
In terms of on land or in
well,
the creek?
Is it under the ground?
Yeah, under the ground, it's spread again over a 55-acre area at least.
And well, that means Williamsburg as well, and perhaps Bushwick.
No, I think it's contained within the Greenpoint neighborhood, but it is underground, both commercial and residential buildings. But I want to point out that in terms of the oil that's leaked into Newtown Creek, that we can safely assume has been dispersed throughout New York Harbor. Up into the Hudson River estuary and out into the Atlantic and into the Long Island Sound. I mean, when oil travels, it travels far and wide.
And I'm assuming it's affecting sea life and river life the same way that the spill in the Gulf is affecting what's going on there.
There's no question about it. I mean, first of all, Newtown Creek has been for the last, you know, half century a virtually dead creek in terms of wildlife. There's very little wildlife there. There's very few fish that can survive because the oxygen levels are so low. Now, that's because of a variety of environmental assaults, including raw sewage and the like. But there's no question. We found out after the Exxon Valdez that oil is 1,000 times more toxic to aquatic sea life than we had previously believed. So this is no question having a big impact on our fellow species.
My guest on Underreported today is Alex Matheson, president of Riverkeeper. We have a picture of the oil plume in Newtown Creek on our website at WNYC.org. We also have a map of the area that in Greenpoint that has been affected. Now, this means that people have been living over this oil spill since 1950 or so.
Yes, they have. Now, if you talk to the residents of Greenpoint, a lot of them point to what they consider elevated levels of cancer and other diseases that they think are attributable to the underground oil spill. Now, of course, epidemiologically, that's a little bit tough to prove, but as far as the neighborhood is concerned, they really feel that this is a major factor. And, of course, they live and breathe this stuff all the time. If you go into that neighborhood, you can smell petroleum in the air.
Have there been elevated levels of cancer or other illnesses in the area?
That is not a study that Riverkeeper has undertaken or is really in a position to undertake. But certainly that's something that we would encourage the EPA to look at. And the EPA has looked at it, but in the past, as far as I know.
Well, we had that Love Canal and other places.
Yes, but in the case of Newtown Creek, they've tended to look at the kind of previous studies and do an evaluation of those studies. I don't know that they've done any new studies on the health impacts of this spill.
And it would be impossible to prove that sort of thing in court anyway, wouldn't it? Because you have to prove that something that happened, in this case 60 years ago, has affected your health 20 years or 30 years or 40 years down the line.
Yeah, that's not the link that's hard. What's hard is to isolate the impact of that those petroleum products on people's health from all the other environmental contaminants that might be in the area. And Newtown Creek is notoriously an industrialized corridor, so there's probably lots of different toxins in the area.
Well, a deal was struck in the past, but haven't adjustments been made more recently? Wasn't a new deal struck in 2009?
On this cleanup, no. We're actually, Riverkeeper filed a suit to compel the DEC to require a much more rigorous cleanup by ExxonMobil. The Attorney General's Office of the State of New York joined in that lawsuit in 2007, as has DEC. They finally came around and realized they hadn't done the job they needed to, but this administration gets the importance of making sure this cleanup is done right. We are now in settlement negotiations with ExxonMobil to see if we can come up with a plan that is much more rigorous and much more expedited so we can return a safer community or safer environment to this community.
As far as Newtown Creek is concerned, ExxonMobil is not the only culprit. There are all sorts of other things that have been dumped into the creek, haven't there?
Yeah. First of all, this is a corridor that has hosted a number of, in the past, refineries, but more recently, oil storage tanks owned by other companies like BP, Amoco, and Texaco, and others. But you also have lots of Phelps Dodge and other manufacturers who have been discharging all kinds of chemicals into the creek. And as I mentioned, New York City's largest sewage treatment plant is also on Newtown Creek and has had a history of problems. It's a more modern plant today, but the combined sewage overflow issue is still very much a problem.
They have a little pier that allows you to go rowboating or kayaking. I've looked at the water. I wouldn't go out in that water.
Well, it's interesting because they did, at the sewage treatment plant, they put down this little step-down kind of plaza, and it's a wonderful idea in the sense that I think what they had in mind was let's establish the idea of gaining public access to this this blighted creek so that we can actually start to do the work necessary so that one day we can do that. I have to tell you, though, no one in that area, either Long Island City or Greenpoint, should be swimming in Newtown Creek. It really is highly contaminated.
There's also been a plume of dry cleaning chemicals discovered on the creek, and cement manufacturers were dumping cement into the creek, weren't they?
Exactly. I mean, when Riverkeeper kind of rediscovered, if you will, and I say that meaning, obviously, it's been there for a long time, and the contamination's been there for a long time, but no one was doing anything about it, which is why it was terrific that you, Leonard, have put the spotlight on this long-forgotten creek. But when we first got there in 2002, we couldn't believe the wanton and flagrant pollution that was happening there. We issued a bunch of notice letters, which is the first step in a lawsuit against a bunch of companies, including the soil recycling company and a cement company and so on. And a lot of the operators on the creek actually quickly came into compliance. But ExxonMobil's been a little bit more of a difficult case.
Well, how do you get cement out of a creek?
Well, that is challenging, but you know, our first order of business was to make sure they stopped dumping new cement into it. So they put up barriers, et cetera, and I think they've been working with the DEC to figure out how to actually remove cement that might be in the river already.
Is the problem mostly in the water or in the silt at the bottom?
Well, really, the problem with putting cement dust, if you will, into the creek is you're essentially covering up the benthic environment, the soil environment at the bottom of the creek. Now, again, there's not a lot of wildlife in the creek now, but that's not going to be helpful as we try and resuscitate and reclaim for wildlife this creek.
But what about the other toxins? Do they eventually settle in the bottom?
Yeah, they settle into the bottom.
So could you just dredge the thing? Could you just send somebody in there and take all of the soil off the top of the bottom and I don't know where we would dump it, but
Yes, that's exactly what we want to see happen. The problem, of course, as you mentioned, is that there's so many different actors here. There's so many responsible parties, as they say in the parlance, of companies that are responsible for contaminating this creek over time, that you have to figure out, okay, who's going to pay for that cleanup? Who's going to pay for that dredging job. And so that's why Riverkeeper is pressing very hard to have the EPA designate Newtown Creek a Superfund site, which would bring federal resources to bear and also would force the parties to come together and come up with a solution as to how to remediate the creek itself.
What about cleaning up the contaminated soil underneath Greenpoint? Would that be harder to do? Can you pull that oil out of the soil?
You can, but imagine how difficult and challenging a project that is when you've got homes and industry.
You don't want to knock down the houses.
And office space and so on right on top of it. So how do you get at that? Obviously, if you the easiest or the best way to do it under normal circumstances would be to excavate that contaminated soil and dispose of it. But you can't excavate soil under buildings without causing damage to those buildings. So I think the best we can hope for is to remove the floating product that's sitting on top of the aquifer water and then also remediate the soil where we can.
Aren't combined sewer overflows also a problem in the creek when it rains?
Combined sewage overflows are a problem in the creek and throughout New York City. And for those who don't know, New York City relies on a very antiquated system where our sanitary or sewage is combined with our stormwater. So every time you get even a mild rain, that extra water into the system overwhelms the 14 sewage treatment plants around the system. And in order to deal with it, the city simply diverts that untreated raw sewage and stormwater around the plants into our waterways. So that's why I think we have something like 28 billion gallons each year of untreated sewage goes into the water each because of those CSO systems.
Well, it sounds like a crisis. The situation in the Gulf is a crisis. Why are we not even talking about this? Is it because Greenpoint is not considered one of it's been an industrial area and an ethnic area and just isn't as important in some people's eyes?
Well, that's exactly why. When you're talking about communities that are polluted, people of color, lower income folks, they just don't tend to have the political voice that a lot of other communities do. So that's why it's been ignored for a long time. But I think there's also been kind of a sense of, hey, this has been an industrialized corridor for a long time, for 150, 200 years, and we need something like this to keep New York City going, so let's just turn a blind eye on it. Now, that's not an acceptable position at all, but I think that's been a little bit of the mindset of the various government agencies who have had a chance to look at this.
So where does the Superfund situation stand now? Has it been designated as a Superfund site?
No, not yet. The EPA is considering it. As I said, Riverkeeper has been...
Just considering it?
Yeah, but they have to go through a whole process where they evaluate what the extent of the contamination is, figuring out and identifying who the responsible parties are, and so on. So they have to go through a scientific and legal process to make that determination. But I feel quite confident, especially with this administration, that it will ultimately be designated as a Superfund site.
Although there are some people who are opposed to that.
Well, there were quite a few people opposed to it in the case of the Gowanus Canal, which, just as you know, recently did get designated as a Superfund site. And those were mainly developers and, of course, the Bloomberg administration itself. And they had concerns that the Superfund designation would somehow stigmatize the Gowanus, which is kind of a ridiculous notion on its face.
All you have to do is walk over the bridge
and take a deep
breath. Union Street. You
exactly.
Smell it.
I mean, pretty much for those who don't even live around the Gowanus, for years and years, if you say Gowanus, people automatically associate it with a polluted waterway. So the idea that this is somehow going to introduce that idea is ridiculous on its face. But luckily, we got that Superfund designation. I think we're going to get a cleanup as quick or quicker than we would have under the other scenario. And at the end of the day, it's going to benefit the community economically.
Just one more thing. If it becomes a Superfund site, does that mean the cleanup will just be in the creek?
Yeah, the Superfund, cleanups can take place both on land and in the creek. But in this case, the Superfund site will be focused on the creek itself.
I want to thank you so much for being with us again. I've been talking with Alex Matheson, who is president of the environmental organization Riverkeeper.
Thank you so much for having me, Leonard.